How many of you know what KBB.com is? KBB.com. If you're a man, you're probably more likely to know what that stands for. That stands for Kelley Blue Book. Kelley Blue Book. And you can go to KBB.com, and maybe if you're looking to perhaps buy a used car or a new car, I suppose, or if you're up for selling a vehicle that you have, and you go to KBB.com, KelleyBlueBook.com, and you hit this little button on a phone. It says something like Get My Car's Value. At that point, you can enter the VIN number or you can enter the make and year of your car. Then you can enter even a plate number if you want. I usually just put in the make and the model because I, you know, don't have the VIN number on the tip of my tongue, and it's a number about that long. But then you put in the mileage, and then you put in the zip code so they can give you the value of that car where you live. It asks for the trim package, like what type of, is it a custom or a limited vehicle? You select the options one by one, or you say price it with standard equipment. I usually just say price it with standard equipment. Then it even asks for the color of your car. I'm not sure if that means that white cars are more expensive than red cars. I don't know, but they ask for the color of your car. And then it asks you, are you selling your car? Are you just curious about your value? Are you trading your car? And then you put it in, and it gives you a, you have to put in a condition, fair, good, very good, or excellent. And then it gives you this trade-in value if you want it. It has a range, and then it usually gives you the average. Or if you want to know what could I get for this car if I put it for sale in my front yard, and it says private party sale, it gives you a range and then the average. Now, the whole purpose of that, going to KelleyBlueBook.com, is to figure out the value of a car. Y'all with me on that? The value of a car. I have a question for you. Have you ever thought about the value of a local church? Have you ever thought about the value of a local church? In particular, what's the value of Oak Mound Evangelical Church? What is the value of this church? Now, I'm not talking about of the buildings. I'm not talking about the facilities. I'm talking about what's the value. The church, actually the local church, is not the buildings. The local church consists of the people that are in the local church. But have you thought about the value of this local church body? This morning, we're going to start a series of messages on the local church. And I'm excited about this series. As far as I know, it's going to be a Sunday morning only series. But a series, probably, unless things change, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about the local church. So it will hopefully be a beneficial series. And hopefully, it won't drag out too long, but there are several things to be said from the Bible about the local church. This morning in particular, we're looking at this idea of the value of the local church. We're only going to cover one today, good Lord willing, but four personal values of the local church. When I say personal values, like, what does that mean to me as an individual to have a church like Oak Mound? What does that mean to me? So we're looking at four, that is, personal values of the local church, part one today. Now, we're going to be covering a fair amount of scripture. It's really going to see how good Angela is at popping up these different verses. I'm sure she'll do a good job. But I'm going to be turning to them myself so I can see them in my Bible. May take a little bit longer than usual in that area. But we're looking at four personal values of the local church. Today we're only looking at one of those personal values. I've kind of grouped several thoughts together. The local church, listen real close. The local church provides us support in life, a sense of belonging, and a sincere love. I'll say that again. This is the only point we're covering today. The local church provides us support in life, a sense of belonging, and a sincere love. Now, I want to say right off the top that not every church does a great job of this, okay? But generally speaking, and I think Oak Mound does a great job of the things we're going to look at. But we could do better, don't you figure? We could do better. And then I'm sure some folks say, well, I go to church over here and they don't do any of that. Well, I'm sure that there's some worse and I'm sure there's some better. But I'm thankful that generally speaking, the local church provides us support in life. It gives us a sense of belonging and it gives us a sincere love. First of all, we're going to look at support in life. Support in life. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. It will be on the monitor, good Lord willing. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. It's under the point, local church gives us support or provides us support in life. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. It's talking about Christ, and it talks about what God has done for Christ. It says, and hath put all things under his feet. That's under the feet of Christ. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, we're going to talk about a lot of different parts later on in this series, but this is really talking about, and some of the verses that we're looking at are talking about the church that really has within that church everyone who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So even when it says there, when it talks about the church, which is what? Christ's body. It's talking what the term is universal church, those that have trusted Jesus, not a local church. But as I look at these verses, I'm also convinced, and most of the Bible is talking about the local church when it uses that word church. It's like I found 114 references to church in the Bible or the comparable word. And I believe it went as high as 95% of those 114 references refer to the local church. But right here, it's talking about the universal church. But where are we going to experience that in this life? It's in the local church. So it applies not only to the universal church, all those who have been baptized in the body of Christ, but also on a real practical level, it's what I experience in the local church. And it says we are part of the same body, the body of Christ. You know, that ought to at least give me a little idea of the support that I have in the local church. You see, we're not just strangers coming together. Now, I'm speaking to those who are truly born again. And the church, the local church membership is clearly for those who are born again, who have trusted Jesus, and those who have followed the Lord in believers' baptism. That's what the requirements are to join the church. And then to agree with us in our doctrine as well. So I'm speaking to those who are a part of the church, or those who have experienced Oak Mount in particular as a local church. You know, we don't put up walls and say, well, there's a member, there's not a member, we don't in our mind think, I don't love you as much because you're not a member. I'd love to see everyone here today join the church. I really would, but we don't exclude as far as, we just don't think as much of you because you're not a member. You see what I'm saying? But the idea is it ought to give us a sense of belonging to know that if we know Jesus as our Savior, and if we're coming to this church and in any way, especially even as a member, it ought to give me a sense of belonging to know that I'm part of the body of Christ. You know what I mean? You know, the Bible uses that word fellowship quite a bit. Fellowship, that koinonia, that's the Greek word, is the idea of sharing together. And we have that in common under the body or in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, we're going to be jumping around a fair amount. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Now listen to this. This talks about the body. We're looking at what the local church provides us, the value of the local church. The local church provides us support in life. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, it says, for as the body is one, talking about the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Did you notice the emphasis on one? As we read that, it says, for the body is one, hath many members, all the members of the body, of that one body, being men, are one body, for by one Spirit. Isn't that good? It mentions one body again. You see, one value of the local church on a local perspective and in our individual lives, when we get together, we should have a sense of belonging. You're like, wow, I'm part of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is bigger than that. You say, what does it mean the Spirit baptized them into the body of Christ? That's speaking to the point of salvation. You see, when you got saved, wherever it was, the Holy Spirit immersed you or put you into the body of Christ. And it's one body. So when we get together, you know, we're not strangers. When we get together, we're like, hey, we're on the same team. We're on the Lord's side. We're in the same body. Isn't that good to know that we're part of the same body? There's other verses that talk about this. If you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, drop down to verse 26. Verse 26. It says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You see, the local church provides us support in life as part of the same body. And it says that if one is hurting, we're all hurting. If one is rejoicing, we're all rejoicing. Now, we've had our share of people leaving this world and going to heaven from our church, right? I think of Sophia. You know, everybody's heart went out to the Grinnells, right? And their family during this time of loss. And then when people are sick and they're going through something, you just think about them and you pray for them. You see, part of that is the support that we get from the local church. Do you think that's important? Romans chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. You think it's one thing whenever you can't find a passage in Scripture. It's pretty bad when you're the preacher and you're in front of everybody and you're like, where is that at? Sometimes it takes me a while to get there, but I usually get there. Romans chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. The local church provides us support in life. Romans chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. It says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. You know, again, it emphasizes the point that as part of the local church, we share our grief. You know, I've heard it said often, what joy is shared or joy is doubled, but sorrows shared or sorrows halved. Think about that for a minute. One value of the local church is to support us in life. And when things aren't going bad, to know, isn't it valuable? Isn't it good? Isn't it encouraging to know that actually somebody cares? And you find that in a local church, or you should. And I think our church, I think does a good job of that. Supporting one another, uplifting one another in prayer. You see, that support in life is important. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We're talking about the local church provides us support in life. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, here's specifically someone who's caught up in sin as a member of a local church. Remember, this was written to the Galatian church. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, what? Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. You know, that's support, isn't it? I mean, if I'm not doing what God wants me to do, I want the church to tell me I'm not doing what the Lord wants me to do. I want the church to stand up, not in an abrasive way, but in a loving way and say, you know what? You're caught up with this sin and you really need to forsake that sin and get back to doing what God wants you to do. You see, part of that is support in life of the local church. It says, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then here it even goes further about support we get from one another. In the local church, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Are you thankful for the local church? Are you thankful for Oakmount? Are you thankful for the support that you get in life from this local church body? Again, I think this church is really good at supporting other people in the church. I really do. Of encouraging and thinking about and praying for one another. Isn't it important to have a support system in life? You know, I'm convinced even as Christians, there's a lot of people that are lacking a lot of support in life, a lot of encouragement in life because they're not part of a local church. It's important, and I'm thankful for that support that I have. We went to West Virginia, I believe it was a men's basketball game this year up in Morgantown, and there was this guy at halftime. I looked up his name to make sure. We were looking, thinking, this guy looks pretty old. He's even older than me. He's called the Amazing Sladek. Amazing Sladek. He's known as America's oldest daredevil acrobat. Oldest daredevil acrobat. Yeah, I looked it up. He's 67 years old. He's been doing what he does in acrobatics for 4 decades. And what he does at halftime, you know, sometimes they have these halftime shows. He, from what I remember from the pictures and everything that I even looked up today, he had like a table and then a table on top of that. Then he got on top of that and he had the Mountaineer, you know, our mascot, handing him or throwing him chairs. So he put one chair just like normal, like you'd sit in it. Then he'd put the other chair upside down with the back toward the low part of the chair, you know, just kind of build. And he kept doing that. And then he got like, he typically goes like 25 foot high. And I'm up there, we was in the nosebleed section, I think, or pretty high up as best I remember. And I was looking down thinking, boy, if he falls, that sure is going to hurt. And there was no net. There was nobody holding on to him. But he got up there, and best I remember, when he got to the very top, he did a handstand. This guy's 67 years old. Pretty impressive, don't you think? But he did it without any support. But you know what? In the Christian life, I wouldn't recommend that. I would not recommend you go through life with no support of the local church. It's important. Let me tell you, if I was doing it, I'd say, hey, give me a safety harness. If I was trying it. I would get me a safety harness. I would have the police department there. I'd have the fire department there. I'd have a truck with a great big boom up. You know, I'd probably have to have Amy on a bullhorn sending words of encouragement. You can do it. You can do it. You know, and in a sense, that's what the local church is. Really, right? I'm thankful for the support in life that the local church provides. Secondly, under that big point, the local church provides us support in life. The second thing we're going to look at, he provides us a sense of belonging. A sense of belonging. We read this a little bit earlier, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, I'll read it again. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit all we are baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Sense of belonging. Again, we're part of the body of Christ. We should feel like we belong, that we're on the same page, that we have the same goals and the same motivation as Christians. And really we should, Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, remember? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That should put us on the same page and give us a sense of belonging when we trust Jesus as our Savior. Now, again, I know when it talk about being baptized in the body of Christ, it's talking about the church universal, if you will, all those that are truly born again. But a picture of that is right here. And what we'll experience in life is right here at Oak Mound. You know, I think in the heart of every man and every woman, we want to belong to something. You know, I'm amazed sometimes at how much effort and work people put into things that are so temporary. And again, they can be good things, and I'm not necessarily faulting them for that. But then you turn around and you see Christians put so little effort into the things that are eternal. But I think we all desire a sense of belonging. You know, I've told people here, when you come to church, I want you to want to come to church. You know, I want you to get the warm fuzzies among God's people. Now, the Word of God is not meant to give us the warm fuzzies every time. If that was the case, we would never grow in our walk with God. Sometimes it steps all over our toes, and you don't realize this, but when I preach these messages, I'm preaching as much to me as I am to you most of the time. But I'm thankful that we have that sense of belonging in our church. And if you kind of miss that, I don't think it's God's fault. I'm not even sure it's our church's fault. It might be your fault. Maybe you want, or maybe you're sending signals that I really don't want to belong. But what a precious thing that the local church is to give me a sense of belonging. Again, a lot of people join all kind of different clubs and civic organizations, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but I'm thankful that my primary sense of belonging comes from the local church. And when you come and you've had a rough day and the world beats you down, I'm thankful that I can come in here and think, yep, I want to be here. Yep. I kind of missed that afternoon lunch thing. How many are up to going to go eat out somewhere? No, I'm kidding. But you know, what a blessing. It shouldn't, honestly, now don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but if it's a real drudgery for you to come to Oak Mound, I mean, if you have to drag yourself to be among these people, you may not be in the right place. Or you may not be in the right place with God. I don't know. I mean, I don't think as a child of God, I'm old enough now, I don't want to go to a church that I don't like. You know what I mean? So if you really don't want to be part of Oak Mound, ask God to either change your heart or to give you a place you want to go. But I sense in this church a sense of belonging. And again, you get beat up by the world, you should be encouraged in God's house. And you should say, you know, I want to be here. And I know them, and I know what they're struggling with, and I'm praying for them. And that one there shakes my hand every time. It hurts my... You remember Russ Riffle? Remember? His goal as a 92-year-old was to hurt as many hands as he could. I mean, he had that, you know, on a grip on your, you know, and he would almost want to challenge you, you know, one of those, you know, he was just a one tough dude, God bless, and I really miss him and Dottie, I really do. But, you know, things like that should make us belong. You know, things like that, I want to be here. Things like that, when people look in the eye and say, you know what, we love you, we're praying for you. I've sensed that more in this church than any church I've pastored, the love and the sense of belonging that we have with one another. That's a compliment. That's a check. Praise the Lord for that. A sense of belonging. We're part of the same body. But also in Ephesians 2:19. Notice what it says. It says in Ephesians 2:19. As Paul writes to a local church, the Ephesian church, notice what he says. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. The saints are people that have been called aside or called apart as Christians. We're saints. I know it's hard to figure in some of us. And you're like, well, it's a saint. But a saint is simply one that's called out to be different. And here it is. And of the household of God. You know what that means? That means that if we belong to Jesus, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Wow. Well, that's a scary thought. I hope Tim can hear this. If he can't, be sure to pass that on to him. But can you imagine being related to Tim Cochran, not Rupert? Now think about that. But if we know Jesus, we're related to one another. You know, the Bible has a lot of references calling someone brethren so-and-so, or the brethren, or brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so. You know, there's a number of references. Why is that? Because we're part of the household of God. So that should give us a sense of belonging, like we're just among family. You know, I don't particularly want to see your feet up on the seats here. You know, I'm kicking back, preacher. I'm putting my feet up because we're among family. No, that's not what I'm saying. But there should be a comfort zone in the sense that we're in the same family. We're in the same body. We're in the same family. We're going to spend eternity together. And guess what? I enjoy being with you. Isn't that good? Shouldn't that be our attitude? I think so. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Notice what it says. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Here it is. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see, we're not only part of the same body, we're also part of the same family. You know, we might as well enjoy our company now. Because if we're truly born again, we're going to spend eternity together. But I will tell you, the version of us in heaven is going to be perfect. The version down here is not. So we'll be a whole lot easier to get along with in heaven, right? But don't use that as an excuse to be a bear down here, all right? The local church provides us, first of all, support in life. Second, a sense of belonging. We have this mug there in Doddridge County. I haven't seen it for a while. I even looked for it a little bit today and didn't see it. But there's a mug that obviously for some special event, for some elementary school in the area, the best I remember. It's got like cartoon figures on the side of the mug. Joe got it somewhere along the line, I'm sure, as he worked in the Harrison County Board of Education there as a purchasing agent. He got this mug, and it shows a bunch of stick figures, you know, like cartoon characters, and they're all standing together with a big smile on their face, and they're all under one T-shirt. I mean, they're all in the same T-shirt. And it says something like this, we're a really together bunch, or something along those lines. And, you know, really, that should describe us as Christians, right? In the local church in particular, we're like in one big T-shirt having a good time, serving the Lord, and we're really a together bunch. I really do. I don't mean this critically, but I really feel sorry for some folks that never, ever plug in to the blessings of the local church and the blessings of Oak Mount in particular. The local church provides us support in life, a sense of belonging. And lastly today, we'll look at this. This is all under point one. We got three more points to go later. Not today. A sincere love. A sincere love. Notice in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verses 9 to 13. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 13. What does the local church provide? It provides or should provide sincere love. Isn't that one of the greatest needs of mankind? To be loved. Don't we want to be loved? Well, the church, the local church can provide that. Notice in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, let love be genuine. Let love be sincere. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave, that is, to that which is good. Be kindly, here it is, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Do you know what that describes in the context of the local church? Sincere love. Sincere love. And primarily, the idea there is of agape love. You know, the first one when it says, let love be without hypocrisy, let love, in other words, be genuine or sincere. That word love is agape. Agape. And that's the supreme love. That's the self-sacrificial love. You know, and I think we have that spirit in our church. I really do. If someone needs something, I think we'll do what we can to try to meet that need. Don't y'all? That's a great thing. You know, a lot of people try to look for love in all the wrong places, as the old country song said, right? Looking for love and all. And they look for love in all kind of weird and whacked out places and evil and sinful places, the bars and the saloons and all the things that they be a part of. I'm thankful that I can find it right here in the local church. I mean, this is real love. This is genuine love. Again, it's not a perfect love, and we're not a perfect church. But I'm thankful that when I come to church here, I feel loved. Do y'all feel loved when you come to church here? I hope you do. I know your pastor loves you. He may not always show it, and he's a little bit dense sometimes. But yeah, but I love you, and I'm thankful for you. And one of the huge blessings, one of the big values of a church is that sincere love that we can have for one another. The Bible also, in John chapter 13, listen, this is some pretty potent, powerful stuff. Are you ready for some potent, powerful verses from the Word of God? John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Notice what it says about our love. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Now, this is the word, these are the words of Jesus. But he's talking to those followers of Jesus. And today that would be us that know the Lord as our Savior. And in particular, the people that we worship with in the local church. Notice what it says. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And he said, well, that's not a new commandment. He said that before. Really what I think is going to happen, Jesus is about ready to show them the supreme example of love. And it's new in the sense that, hey, I'm turning this up a notch. I'm going to show you what love really is. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one another. And when it keeps saying one another and one another, it's talking about fellow servers of God, in this case, Christians, as we would say, it's talking about toward one another. We're supposed to love one another as Christ loves us. What did Christ do for us? He gave the ultimate sacrifice, right? No greater love hath any man than this, than to lay down his life for his brothers, right? I'm thankful that God exhorts us as Christians to love one another with a sincere, real, genuine love. And then it even goes a little further. It says, by what? By the love that we show to one another in even a local assembly called a local church. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Wow. If ye have love one to another. Do you know what should really happen? We should love each other so much in this church that word gets out. Y'all still with me? Hello? We should love each other so much that word gets out in the community that bunch up there, boy, they really love one another. You know what unfortunately usually gets out about a church? Well, they're squabbling over this or they're squabbling over that. You know, so-and-so quit the church and, you know, the preacher did this and that. You know, that's the stuff. Really what ought to get out about our church is that we love each other. And I know, I think our church does a good job, but I'm sure we could do a better job. And what ought to get out, people say, you know what? There's something different about those people. And maybe they come here to worship with us, and they're not familiar with us, and they say, there's something different about these people. And it's not that we're weird. It's that we love one another so much. Wow. Isn't that something? I'm thankful that a blessing of the local church is sincere love. The local church provides us support in life, a sense of belonging, and sincere love. Again, I believe that everybody wants to be loved. You know, sometimes you see somebody, and someone goes up to them, and arms out, do you need a hug? Sometimes we need a hug, right? Things are going so bad. We really need to be loved. And I think if we commit ourselves to it, this local church will love you. This local church will support you. This local church will give you a sense of belonging. You know what? Let me speak to the saved just for a moment. We cannot determine the value of a church through Kelley Blue Book, you know? But according to the Bible, the church has great personal value for every single one of us. Aren't you thankful for the support in life that this church gives you? Are you thankful for that sense of belonging, and are you thankful for that sincere love? Again, I don't think we're perfect in any of these. I know I'm not perfect in any of these, but in a general way, we can definitely receive this in our church. Let me ask you a question. If you're here today and you know the Lord is your Savior, let me ask you a question. Do you appreciate the local church as much as you should? Do you appreciate, in particular, Oak Mound Evangelical Church the way you should? I'd encourage you, if God has challenged you today to appreciate Oak Mound a little bit more, I'm going to ask you as we sing to either bow your head where you are and just say, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I'm grateful for Oak Mound Evangelical Church. Or if you want to come to the altar, you come up here and say, God, I just want to thank you for the local church. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the support it gives and the belonging, sense of belonging and the sincere love that it shows. But if you're here today and you've never ever trusted Jesus as your Savior, the message is not primarily a salvation message. But, you know, there's a lot going on in the world if you haven't figured it out. There's a lot going on in the world. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I'd nail that thing down today. If you're here with us and we're singing this song in a moment, I'll be somewhere down around front. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you have questions, I'd come forward and say, Preacher, I want to know whether I'm saved. I want to be saved or whatever. I want to talk to you about being saved, whatever. I'm here for you. If you're listening in, I'd encourage you. I'd encourage you. You can mean it from your heart. Call out from a sincere, genuine heart right now and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died upon the cross for me as the Son of God and resurrected back to life. I now confess Jesus as my Savior. If you mean that, there's nothing in those words, but if you mean that from your heart, you can be saved wherever you are. And if that's the case, I'd like for you to let us know because we'll try to encourage you in your walk with God and try to get you plugged in to this local church that provides so much value to our lives. If you would bow your head and close your eyes as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit this invitation to you now. We just want to thank you for the local church. We thank you for this local church in particular. And Lord, we're excited about this sermon series that you've led us to talk about the local church. May it be a blessing and an encouragement and a challenge to our hearts. Lord, take control of the invitation. Lord, help us to be grateful for the local church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.